You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Thursday, July 8, 2021. 1,000 miles from Henry, Part 2. Desert Southwest Natural Gas Basis is Sizzling. Published by Jason Ferguson. Usually when we write about natural gas markets in the western third of the U.S., we spotlight the Permian Basin and its Waha gas hub. The focus on Waha has been for good reason, as the last 3 years have been nothing if not exciting in the Permian's primary gas market. The basin's huge volume of associated gas production and Waha's volatility and deeply negative basis, even negative absolute prices, have made the West Texas market eminently watchable. Though a flurry of new pipelines out of the Permian have helped tame the market somewhat recently and driven Waha to the point of positive basis on its best days, the markets west of the Permian are a different story. They have seen very little in the way of new gas infrastructure, and the constrained inbound pipeline capacity has recently driven prices in the desert southwest to some incredible premiums. In today's blog, we take a look at the gas markets there. In the first part of this series, we looked at how the oft-neglected San Juan Basin in northwestern New Mexico has been impacted by recent changes at Waha, the latter of which we last covered in our Hold on Loosely blog back in May. The gist of those two blogs was that a combination of infrastructure enhancements in the Permian as well as strong basis in the Houston Ship Channel and Desert Southwest markets has helped underpin, to some extent, the futures curves in both the Permian and the San Juan. Like hiking in, or even driving through, Death Valley this time of year, diving into the Desert Southwest natural gas market isn't for the faint of heart. It's an area that, in many ways, seems overlooked in today's gas markets, though we know there is a small contingent that watches the region like a hawk. If you are among them, go easy on us if we miss some of the finer details of the region, and feel free to send constructive comments, which are always welcome. Before we go further, we should make a couple of clarifications. When we say Desert Southwest in today's blog, we generally mean the gas market covering the area directly west of the Permian and south of the San Juan to the border between California and Arizona. This definition primarily includes the southern part of New Mexico and Arizona, as well as parts of northwest Mexico served by the pipelines in the area. Second, while we have included most all of the relevant pipelines in and around the Desert Southwest, our focus here is the Permian and San Juan, so we're not showing pipelines serving other basins, like Kern River, which serves the Denver-Julesburg market, and we left off a few of them in the adjacent regions for simplicity. Figure 1 in today's blog on the website is a detailed schematic of major gas pipelines in the Permian, San Juan, and Desert Southwest markets. The first pipeline we will discuss is a heavyweight of the Permian as well as the San Juan and Desert Southwest. Kinder Morgan's El Paso Natural Gas, or EPNG, moves over 2 BCF per day of natural gas from the Permian and another 1 BCF per day or so from the San Juan area to markets in New Mexico, Arizona, California, and northwest Mexico. EPNG makes various deliveries at the border in Arizona to power plants on the Mexico side. It also delivers gas to the Sierra pipeline, which then moves gas down to the Mexico border, where gas moves farther south on the Sasabe-Guaymas pipeline, which is owned by Sempra's Mexico subsidiary, IEnova. In fact, most of the northwest Mexico region was almost exclusively served by gas that originated in the U.S. on EPNG, though that has changed slightly over the last few months with the startup of various pipelines in Mexico. The most recent of these was the completion of the Samalayuca-Sasabe pipeline, or SAMSAS, which runs from the Permian to where the Sierra pipeline intersects with the Sasabe-Guaymas pipeline and which has the potential to serve as a sort of twin to the EPNG system in moving Permian gas to northwest Mexico. More on this in a moment. Turning to the SoCal border area, we can see that EPNG makes deliveries of its Permian and San Juan natural gas at various interconnects here. One of the primary pipelines EPNG delivers into is Sempra's Southern California gas grid. EPNG also supplies TC Energy's Baja North pipeline, as well as the Pacific Gas and Electric Pipeline System. EPNG's Desert Southwest deliveries also include numerous power plants in Arizona and New Mexico. While EPNG is the most significant major player in the area, it isn't alone. Energy Transfer's Transwestern Pipeline competes to supply some of the same markets. The long-haul pipe originates in the Permian and transverses the San Juan before terminating at the California border. That pretty much covers the major pipelines in the region, though we've included a few others for completeness. If you've made it this far, then perhaps you have at least some vested interest in the Desert Southwest gas market, and that is likely for good reason. Basis, which is just the differential between a gas hub's price and the Henry Hub benchmark in Louisiana, has been sizzling in the Desert Southwest, for which we use the SoCal border basis market as a proxy. Figure 2 in today's blog on the website shows the forward basis curves for the Waha, San Juan, and SoCal border markets. Though Waha and the San Juan both have some positive months, SoCal border really stands out. While SoCal border has a few negative months on its futures curve in the spring of next year, some of the peak demand months during the summer and winter this year and next are between 50 cents per million BTU and $1.50 per million BTU over Henry Hub. That's a dramatic premium to Waha and the San Juan, which are only just slightly premium, if that, during the peak demand months, meaning the spread from these two basins to the SoCal border is well over $1 per million BTU for many months from now through the end of next year. Though the basis curve for SoCal border slopes downward over the course of this year and next, prices for next summer and early in the winter of 2022-23 remain solidly between 50 cents per million BTU and $1 per million BTU over Henry Hub. Why should natural gas prices be so strong in a market feeding Southern California, a region that many folks associate with solar power, electric cars, and a general disdain for fossil fuels? Well, there is no simple answer to that question, but California and many of its neighbors remain heavy consumers of natural gas, despite their focus on renewable generation. On the subject of renewables, the desire to move toward a green hydrogen-oriented fuel mix in the California market is notable but is complicated by the dearth of gas pipeline capacity into the region, which is a topic we touched on recently in our It's a Gas, Hydrogen webinar. What's more, given the extreme drought in many western states, hydroelectric generation is lower than this time last year, which has driven up demand for natural gas as well as coal in the region's electric power sector. However, it's clear that given the price spreads between the Permian and California, every molecule of gas that can leave the Permian and head west on EPNG and Transwestern is doing just that. Unfortunately, those pipelines have made almost no capacity expansions over the years, in stark contrast to various brownfield and greenfield pipeline projects that have been constructed to points north and east from the Permian. So, when SoCal border prices spike, there's simply not much the Permian can do to help out. One source of potential assistance out west, ironically perhaps, could come from the new SAM-SAS pipeline corridor in Mexico that we mentioned earlier. When the Samalayuca-Sasabe pipeline started up earlier this year, it was moving around 100 million cubic feet per day of gas that previously flowed west on EPNG and then south into Mexico. While that is far below SAM-SAS's capacity of 472 million cubic feet per day, it did help more Permian gas get into the Arizona and California markets via EPNG. That said, the new pipeline hasn't been very reliable so far, and a recent outage occurred during one of the latest heat waves, exacerbating the SoCal border gas price spikes. Those are just a few of the issues impacting this region, but there are others, ranging from possible additional power plant retirements and expanded intermittent renewable generation, as we covered in California Dreamin', to a steady fall in natural gas production from the San Juan and traditional Rockies basins that help supply western gas markets. Making the SoCal border market even more interesting will be the addition of a significant amount of gas demand when Sempra's LNG export facility starts up at Costa Azul, just south of Tijuana in northwest Mexico's Baja California region, which we wrote about recently in Closer. How all this plays out is up for debate, but we think markets in the Desert Southwest are likely to stay volatile in the months ahead. Sadly, without more pipeline capacity across New Mexico and Arizona, there's not likely much that resurging Permian Basin natural gas production will be able to do to help the situation. If you're interested in closely tracking developments in the Permian gas market, remember that we cover the topic every Monday in our Nat Gas Permian Fundamentals Report. 1,000 Miles from Nowhere was written by Dwight Yoakam and appears as the second song on Yoakam's fifth studio album, This Time. Released as the second single from the LP in June 1993, it went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. The song was featured in two films, Red Rock West and Chasers. Personnel on the record were Dwight Yoakam on lead, backing vocals, and acoustic guitar, Pete Anderson on electric lead guitar, Al Perkins on lap steel guitar, Taras Pradanyuk on bass, Jeff Donovan on drums, Skip Edwards on keyboards, Don Reed on fiddle, and Beth Anderson, Scott Humphrey, Tommy Funderburk on backing vocals. This Time was recorded at Capitol Studios in Hollywood in 1992 to 1993, with Pete Anderson producing. Released in March 1993, the album went to number 4 on the Top Country Albums chart and number 25 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been Yoakam's best-selling album to date, and has been certified 3 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 5 singles were released from the LP. Dwight Yoakam is an American singer, songwriter, country music musician, and actor. He has released 17 studio albums, 2 live albums, 9 compilation albums, and 46 singles, and has appeared in 23 motion pictures and 15 television shows. Yoakam has won 1 Country Music Award, 1 Academy of Country Music Award, and 2 Grammy Awards, and is a member of the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. Yoakam continues to record and tour.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.